Okay, today's daf is Chul and daf Kuf Chav Zayin. We left off on daf Kuf Chav Vav Amud Beis. We are at the Gemara right after the Mishnah. So the Mishnah told us two halachos. One of them, if you touch a beitza of a sharet, that if it has a nekev in it, you're going to be tamei, but with no nekev in it, you're going to be tahor. And the other one was about the mouse that is half mouse, half dirt, as it's developing into a mouse. So we're going to discuss some of the details of that mouse and the halachos of it. That's going to lead us into a discussion in general of what's included in achbar, what types of creatures are included in achbar, where do they have to live, and the status of shratzim of the yam in general, whether they have a din sheretz. But that's going to lead us into a discussion of a particular type of city, a particular city that had a lot of ganavim, where you can't trust the people from that city. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the creation of a certain type of sharet called an arvad and how it comes into existence. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to discuss the tumah status of both evarim and basar that are meduldolin, that are hanging, that are dangling off of an animal. And that's going to lead us to discuss other dangling things, such as fruits from a tree. Let's say you have fruit that's growing on a tree, but it's already dried up, so it's not really being nourished anymore from the tree. What is its halachic status, both as far as Tumas Ochlin, as well as in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, in terms of being Tolesh Mina Ilan? So let's begin right after the Mishnah at the Gemara on today's shir. Once again, is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. And again, we thank Dr. Landerer so much for the continued sponsorship of the Shiurim. So let's pick up from the Gemara on Daf Kuf Chavav Amud Beis. So the Mishnah had said that a Beitzas Hasharet Hamaru Mekemes, if it has a nekev in it, if it has a hole in it, it's mitame. So Gemara is going to derive this from a pasuk. Tan Rabbanan, Brisa tells us as follows. When it comes to Tumas Shratzim, the Torah tells us in last week's parsha, Hatmeim. The pasuk says, Eila Hatmeim Lachem Bechol Hasharet. But the point is, it doesn't say Eila Tmeim lachem b'chol asheretz. It says Eile ha tmeim lachem b'chol asheretz. So it could have said tmeim. So why did it say ha tmeim? L'rabos beitzas asheretz. That comes to include the beitz of asheretz as well. Tosfos raises the question: why do I need a pasuk to darshan from it the tumah of the beitzas asheretz? We already had a sugya on daf samach dal and amud aleph that said misvara that if you eat a beitzas asheretz serikma that yichayev malkus for eating it, because the basar inside of it is like any other basar asheretz. So why do I need a pasuk to tell me beitzas asheretz is included? So Tosfos points out that as far as tuma, you need a pasuk that it should have it, because you need a pasuk that it's metame, because tuma always requires that it has its particular shame. A tzav, there are certain types of shratzim that are not metame, and we never would have known that a rikum has a shame tzav as well, that a developing embryo inside of the egg has a shame tzav, unless there's a makor from the pasuk. But as far as isra achila, even if it doesn't have a shame of that particular thing, it's going to be asur b'achila. So misvara, like all other shratzim in the world, are asur b'achila. Meaning the point being that since some shratzim are metame, some are not, so clearly it's not just about being sheretz, it's about being a particular shame sheretz, as opposed to the isra achila, all shratzim are asur b'achila. So mela, it doesn't matter if it has a particular shame sheretz, and therefore whatever's developing inside that egg is going to be asur misvara. Furthermore, Tos suggests the isra achila, the Gemara learns misvara, but it's the Gemara does not really learn it misvara. It's based on a limud that's quoted in the Gemara over here by Tuma, meaning over there the Gemara is relying on the limud that we quote over here. But anyway, what it seems that our Gemara is telling us is hatmeim, the extra hay, the rabos beitzas hasheretz vikulas hasheretz, and also the kulas bone of hasheretz that has marrow on the inside, but that it's metame as well. So yachla filu lo rikma. I would think that even if the sheretz is not yet developing inside of the egg, it would still be tame. Tamalomar hasheretz. That's why the pasuk says hasheretz, that the tumas dafka, something that's like a sheretz. Ma sheretz sherikim. Just like a sheretz, we're talking about that it has some sort of tsura of a sheretz. Af beitzas hasheretz sherikma. So too, whatever's inside that egg of a sheretz has to be that it has a tsura of a sheretz already developed developing inside of it. Yachla filu lo niklu. I might think that this is has the ability to be metame the kolis of the sheretz and the baits of the sheretz, even if you don't puncture a hole in the outside. Tamalomer. That's what the pasuk says. Hanogeya yitma. Pasuk says kol hanogeya behem b'mosam yitma adarif. But it's hanogeya yitma. So it can't mean that only someone who touches the actual sheretz is going to be tameh, because we already said that even if you're nogeya with the base as sheretz, with the kolis as sheretz, we darshan from the pasuk, you're going to become tameh. So how do we reconcile that? Is it only when you're nogeya, or is it even the base and the kolis? So we darshan es she'ef sharliga tameh ve'she'ef sharliga tahar. That which you're able to touch, that there's a hole in the outside, so you're able to access what's on the inside. So then you're going to be tameh even if you don't touch what's on the inside. But that which you cannot even access, you cannot even possibly touch, then it's going to be tar. The kama nikivasa. What's the shear of a nikiva in the external shell in order to make it subject to tumas maga? Kichutasare, even just a hair's worth of a hole. She'ef shaliga kichutasare, because you could touch the sharetz in the inside of it by putting an actual hair on the inside. So you could stick a beard hair or whatever and stick it right inside of the of that hole, and therefore it's considered to be accessible, it's considered to be something that's efshar liga. The Medrash in Parshas Metzora, in Torah's Khan, in Parshas Metzora, from the Pasuk of Kala Sher Yiga Bo Azav, says that Tamei Adarav, that Azav is Metamei, even if he touches Seyar HaTohar or Tziparnov. So you see that even a hair has the ability to contract the tuma when you're dealing with these types of tuma. So and also to be motzi tuma, his hair is considered like his guf. The Medrash has a similar drasha on that level as well. That's why the hole only needs to be the size of a hair. Fine. So the Mishnah went on to say achbar shechetzi. We said an achbar that's chetzi basar and chetzi adama. Someone who touches the basar part of it is going to be tamei, but you touch the adama part of it, you're going to be tahar. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even if you touch the Adama part of it, that's connected to Basar, so it's the part of the Adama that's going to one day develop into Basar, it's going to be Tameh. So I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi, Behusha Hishritz Al Pnei Kulo. When the Tanakhama says you're Tameh, when you touch the Basar, that's Dafka, if the half of the Sheretz that's developed is L'chol Orcha, it goes all the way along the length of the Sheretz, meaning it's not that the top half of the body, the front half of the body is developed and not the back half, it's that the top half of the body is developed and not the bottom half. So along its length, it goes end to end, it just hasn't totally filled in yet. Some say Rabbi Shimon Levi's comment in connection with the Seifa, that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you only touch the Adama, that will develop into part of the Achbar, your Tameh, and on that, that's only if it's Ishrus Al Pnei Kulo, the entire length of the body is already developing, but if it's not yet, then if you touch the Adama, it's going to be Tahar. So man, the one who said that Rabbi Shimon Levi's statement was originally stated in the context of the Reisha, that the Tanakama was not mitame you when you touch the basar unless the full length of the animal is already developing. Well, then kol shekein haseifa, and certainly his comment is relevant to the seifa, that Rabbi Yehuda would not be mitame someone who touches the adama, he's not even touching basar, unless the whole thing is already developing, the whole length of the animal is already developing, because to be mitame someone who touches adama is a much greater chiddush than to be metame somebody's touching the part that's already achbar. So with regard to tuma of someone who touches the basar, Rabbi Shimon Levi is going to say that the Tanakhama would limit it only if it's already fully developing. Then Kolshke, with regard to the tuma, that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say you can track by touching the adama, it's going to be limited only if it's already fully developing. But man masna seifa avol reisha avol gav delo hishritz. But if you say Rabbi Shimon Levi's comment only with regard to the Seifa, to Rabbi Yehuda, about touching the Adama, well then he might say that if you touch the Achbar part, the part that's already developed, it doesn't matter if it's developing fully lengthwise or widthwise. So the Gemara brings a brisa that's going to explain a lot of things, but among them is this type of achbar is amongst the shratzim atmeim. So they mean this unusual achbar that develops from the ground. So Tan Rabbanan, mitoch shnemar, since the pasuk lists the types of shratzim that are tamei, and it says achbar shameani afilu achbar shabiyam. I would naturally assume that even a fish that's called an achbar, meaning a lot of creatures have a similar name, even though they live in the sea, a similar name to a land creature that happens to live in the sea. So I would think that an achbar shabiyam is also included in this as one of the shratzim atameim. Sheshmo achbar, because it's called an achbar. So says more vidinu. But really, I could learn from a limud, from a logical limud, that it would be tahar. Because timei b'chulda, the timei b'achbar. It is an unusual usage of the word v'dinu. V'dinu usually comes to support the point. Over here, v'dinu is saying the opposite. V'dinu is that it should be tahar. Because the pasuk is mitamei chulda, and we find that the pasuk is mitamei someone who touches an achbar. So ma chulda min hagadol al aretz, just like a chulda means something that's a land creature, because there is no dog in the yam that is called the chulda, af achbar min hagadol al aretz. So to the achbar is only limited to the land creature. Or maybe you can go in a different direction and learn a binyan from chulda that an achbar shabiyam is tameh, because timeh b'chulda v'timeh b'achbar. We're metameh a chulda and an achbar. Ma chulda kol sheshma chulda, just like in the category of chulda is anything that's called a chulda. It just happens to be there's no such thing as a sea creature called a chulda, but everything that is called a chulda is tameh. So maybe I could say af achbar kol sheshma achbar, that included in achbar is anything that's called Achbar, afilu achbar shabiyam, sheshmo achbar, and therefore would even include an achbar shabiyam because it is called achbar. So tamalomar, that's why the pasuk says when it talks about tumas shratzim al haaretz, that it says zelachem atami b'sheretz hashareitz al haaretz. So al haaretz is extra. We darshan that only an achbar haaretz is tamei, not an achbar shabiyam. So I al haaretz, if the makar to be mitar an achbar yam is from the word al haaretz, so yachal al haaretz itamei yar liyam lo yitamei. I could have darshaned it differently and say that there's no difference between an achbar yabasha and an achbar yam. They're both mitamei when they're dead. The limud of the pasuk is that each one is only when they're on the aretz they're mitameh, but once they're in the yam, if you touch it, you're no longer going to be mitameh. Tamalomer, that's why the pasuk says hashoreitz. The pasuk says basheretz hashoreitz ala aretz. Hashoreitz is extra. Kol makom shashoreitz. Then, no, once you found a min that is tameh, it doesn't matter where you contact it. Even as long as wherever it happens to be shoreitz and you touch it, it's mitameh. And achbar aretz could swim a little bit on the yam as well, and nevertheless, it's mitameh even when it's in the yam. So ala aretz cannot be coming to be mitaher a swimming achbar. It must be coming to be mitaher an achbar that is actually a sea creature. So the Braisa says, I don't know if that's true. Oeinu ela hashoreitz kolam mashritz yitameh. Maybe hashoreitz tells me that anything that comes into creation, that comes into being through pruruvu from a mother, from a father, is mitameh. She'ein mashritz lo yitameh. But that which is not created through a normal period of a mother and a father should not be tummy. This is why I'm quoting this whole braisa for this line. So I would think to exclude the achbar that is half flesh and half ground, half earth, which doesn't come from a natural way. It doesn't come from a mother and a father. It just develops from the ground. So Allah aretz, we would learn that achbar is yard liyam is not mitame, and achbar yam is mitame when it goes to the aretz, because there's no miyu to exclude it. But the point is that we're saying that maybe that's what hashoreitz is coming to tell me, that only that which is part of rava. So the Bryce says, no, you can't say that we're coming to be mitar an achbar that's half flesh and half adama, because the din of such an achbar we can learn from a chulda. Vidinu. Time b'chulda v'time b'achbar. There is a din of tumah by a chulda and there is a din of tumah by an achbar. Ma chulda kol shashma chulda, just like a chulda is anything that goes by that title chulda, af achbar kol shashma achbar. So to by an achbar is anything that has the title achbar. Avi achbar shechetzio basar v'chetzio adama, and that would therefore include this unusual achbar that's half basar and half adama, that it has the ability to be metame because it's shmo achbar. Or maybe we can go in a different direction with this limud and say, Ma chulda paravarava af achbar paravarava. Maybe only that which is part of a rava is included in achbar, but an achbar that comes into being by itself maybe is tar. So since we can learn this binyanav in a way that's mitar, the achbar that spontaneously comes into being, so tamalomar basharetz. That's why the pasuk has to say basharetz. The word basharetz is extra because the pasuk afterward already says, so it's coming to teach that an achbar that comes into being on itself is also mitame. So the word hashoretz is therefore extra. So that must be coming to teach me what we said originally, that an achbar aretz that's yorid liyam is still mitame while it's in the yam. That even an achbar aretz happens to go swimming, even while it's swimming, it still has the ability to be mitame. Good. So that's the brisa. So now the Gemara asks on the brisa, why don't we dash in the psukim slightly differently? To be metame the achbar aretz, it's yorid liyam, and also a dog that's called an achbar shabiyam. Amalei umid rabbanan l'rava. So umid rabbanan said to Rava, maybe basharet, the word basharet in the pasuk is asuye achbar shechatzio basar v'chatzio adama. That's coming to tell me that the spontaneously generated achbar is going to be tame. Hashoret, the lashon hashoret is from a lashon of that which comes through puruvu. Kol shu shoret, anything that has a father and mother, afilu achbar shabiyam, even the sea creature. And if you're worried about what you're going to darshan from Ala Aretz, that we previously darshan, that only an achbar that's a land creature is metame, not the sea creature called an achbar, nah, those were Ala Aretz could come to tell me something else, that Ala Aretz, yitame, yar liyam, lo yitame. That might be telling me that yes, both the sea creature and the land creature that are called achbar are metame, but only when they are on the land. If anything's in the sea, then it's not going to be metame. So he said, well, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. Once you said that the yam is a place that's right for tumah, because you said that the shratzim that are in the yam, the sea creatures, are mitame, so then why would you say that the achbar shabaretz is only mitame on land and not mitame in the sea? There's no difference in the halachos of tumah whether an achbar is in the land or is in the sea or on the land. So it should make sense that even in the sea it would be tamei. So the drasha of the brisa, we understand your suggestion, Ahumid Rabbanan, but the drasha of the brisa makes more sense, makes more logical sense to work it out the way the brisa did than the way this Ahumid Rabbanan is suggesting to work it out. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the brisa and ask on the brisa that you can't say that the words Ala Aretz are extra and are there to teach us that an Achbar Yam is Tahar, because we already darshaned from Ala Aretz a different drasha. The rule is that when you have a suffix in general, suffix tuma, if there's a suffix of a person or an object had become tame, so we know the rule. If the suffix tuma was no letter in Rishus Rabim, it's going to be tahar. If it's no letter in Rishus Yachid, then it's going to be tame. We learned that out from Sota, that Sota is suffix tuma, Rishus Yachid is tame. By Sheretz at Saf al Pnei Amayim, the Brisa tells us in Mesechas Nazir, it's an exception to the rule. If you have a Sheretz that floats on the water, Brisa tells us in Mesechas Nazir, in Daf Samach Gimel, that even in a Rishus HaYachid, if the Safik comes up, whether you touched it, you're going to be Tahar. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi in the Sugya Nazir over there learns this from a stira between two Psukim. We have one Pasuk in this past week's parasha that tells us, Al Tishaktu es Nafshoseichem b'chol ha-sheretz ha-sheretz v'lo sitamu behem. So it sounds like a sheretz is metame wherever it is, wherever it's royal lishrots, whether it's on the karka, whether it's on the mayim, it doesn't matter. And then another Pasuk says, Ala Aretz. Sounds like only when it's Ala Aretz it's metame, not when it's tzaf al pnei amayim. So the first pasuk must be coming to tell me that a sheretz that tzaf al pnei amayim is metame when you know for sure that you touched it. The second pasuk, says Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi in Maseches Nazir, must be coming to teach me about a case of a safek, that if it's tzaf al pnei amayim, you're tahar when you're not sure if you touched it. And I don't care if it's Rishus Yachid, Rishus Rabin, even if it's Rishus HaYachid, there's a pasuk that's telling me that a sheretz that tzaf al pnei amayim is tahar. So I need to come up up with a way that that's going to be tar. It must be Safik Tumah. That Safik Tumah versus Yachin in such a case is going to be Tamei. V'hai ala aretz mibayle lotzi Safik Tumah Tzafa. So says Mar, but wait, how can you use ala aretz for what we chose to darshan over here, that an achbar yam is tahar? We already use ala aretz to tell me this din that a safik tumah tzafa is always going to be tahar. Tam Rabbi Tzibur Avdimi ala aretz lahotzi safik tumah tzafa. Says Mar Tarti ala aretz ksivi. It says ala aretz twice. So we can learn two different drashos from ala aretz. Okay, now as far as shratzim are concerned, we continue to discuss different types of shratzim. Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us, by shratzim tameim, the Pasuk tells us, v'hatsav l'minehu. So the fact that it says l'minehu is l'havi ha'arvad. It includes other types of things that are similar to itsav, an arvad, v'chein ha'nefilim, v'salamandaria, ukshay Rabbi Akiva magia l'pasuk zeh. When Rabbi Akiva would reach this Pasuk of hatsav l'minehu, that they darshan from it the salamandaria, Daria, Omer, he would say, he would be overcome with emotion. He would say, Marabu Masach Hashem. Imagine Rabbi Akiva listening to Kriyas HaTorah. You know, like a pasuk comes up and he's like overcome with emotion. Rabbi Sabalowski said that once he was listening to Kriyas HaTorah and they got to the pasuk Ki Huzeh. You know, like all of Bamitziah is based on the pasuk Ki Huzeh. He said he wanted to tell the Balkari to slow down so I could savor the moment. You know, Moda B'mitzas. You know, what we get from Ki. So, okay, so we don't necessarily always react that way. So Rabbi Akiva stopped when he got to this pasuk. Marabu Masach Hashem, how amazing it is where Kodesh Baruch Hu creates. Yesh Chabrios Gedelos B'Yam, Yesh Chabrios Gedelos B'Yabasha. You have creatures that grow in the sea, creatures that grow on the dry land. Shabiyam L'Malei Olos B'Yabasha Miyad Mesos. The sea creatures, if they would ever come on land, they would die right away. Shabiyabasha L'Malei Olos B'Yam Miyad Mesos. If the land creatures would go in the sea, they would drown, they would die right away. Yesh Chabrios Gedelos Ba'or V'Yesh Chabrios Gedelos Ba'avir. You have creatures that grow in fire and creatures that grow in air. The fire creatures, if they would come into the air, they would die right away, because the salamandaria is not able to exist outside of fire. And the air creatures, if they would go into the fire, they would burn right away. So, how great are the creations of Hashem. In the Tzofnas Paneach, the Ragged Shaver, in Shmos, he says that there's a chilik la'alacha between Masek Shafim and Masay Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes. He says, Neflos Hashem, even though it's not something that happens al pi teva olam and darkei olam, it is an absolute metzius that is recognized as fact and as reality. As opposed to Kishuf, is dimyon bialma, it's not a metzius al pi alacha. And therefore he says, nigeik shafim are not metame b'negayim. If let's say someone does a kishuf spell on you, and now you have something that looks like a negatzaras, it's not a negatzaras, it's a mirage, it's not real. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Arios. But the yad of Moshe, that became, when he stuck his hand in his garment, and he pulls it out, and that's tzaras, that's real tzaras, because that was an absolute metzius, that was something that was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the context of the Ragged Shaver on Chumash. And the Sefer Plaos Edosech, according in the Panini Alach section of the Masifta, is mochiach this from the fact that it says in the Moshe of Zekenim, Mibalei Atosos, in the end of Parshat B'Shalach, in the name of the Medrash, that Agag was Ba'al Chamora, Agag from Amalek, was Ba'al Chamora, he had Bia with a Chamora, and they had a child from that. So the Moshe of Zekenim asks, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, a Behemoth and Adam are not compatible to be able to produce a child. So he says that Chamora was an Isha, and Kodesh Baruch Hu said that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu said that you have to wipe out everything in Amalek, Mishor V'Yad Chamor, because the Bali Kishuf would change themselves into looking like a behema. So he says, but that's not reality, that's not etzem, that's just dimyon, because anything that happens with Kishuf is only dimyon. Memela, the Chamorah, was able to become pregnant from Agag. So he asks on this from our sugya. Our sugya, we dash from the Pasuk Atzav L'mineu, that the Arud and the Nephilim and the Slamandaria, and Rashi writes, Slamandaria is a sheret that is created mina or from Atzeh, Hadas, Al Yidei, kshafim. You use kishuf to create it, Rashi says. And someone who takes the dam of the Slamandaria, it's a fire repellent. If you take that dam and you rub it on your skin, you can walk right through a fire. So you see that Slamandaria is a balchai that comes about through kishuf. And if the metzius is that anything that's kishuf is not really true, it's just a dimyon, but really it's like it was originally, so then the Slamandaria should not be considered like a balchai. It should be considered eish, because it's really eish, and then kishuf just makes it look like a balchai. So how can we learn from the pasuk that it's included in Sav? So that's the kasha that he asks. So the Chasam Sofer writes that even according to Rashi, Slamandaria is not really created al yedei kishuf. That the Mechashim are not able to make a bria chadasha. So it's difficult to say that the pasuk is coming to be marbe a bria that came about dafka through kishuf shalop b'derech hateva. He says it's a bria that's created b'derech hateva from the yisod of fire. That's what it sounds like from the sugya, and it grows in the mountains that are merikim eish, and the Mechashim that gather these brios and connect them and bring them to one place when they want a slamandaria to come from the yisod. They bring the yisod of fire. They're not able to create the creature yesh me'ayin. But that's what the role of kishuf is, that they're able to sort of gather things together al yedei the kishuf, but only things that already exist. Anyway, so this was Rabbi Akiva was overcome when he thought about this unusual creature. Tan Rabbanan, kol sheyesh be'yavasha yesh be'yam. There's a sea equivalent for every land creature, chutz min acholda, except for a cholda. Amar b'zeir mikra. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says hazinu kol yosh. Chaled. Yoshei Aretz are called Yoshei Chaled, because Choldos are only on Aretz, they are not in the sea at all. Amar Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua, Beibari de Narash, those Shratzim that are called Beibarim, that are found in the river of the city of Narash, Einan min ha-yishuv. They don't grow in the land, they're only sea creatures. So if you eat them, you don't get malchus for kol ha-sharetz ha-sharetz ala aretz lo ye'echel, you only get malchus for kol ha-sharetz ha-mayim, mi besorim lo sochelu. So it's only the malchus for eating a sea sharetz, not the malchus for eating a land sharetz. So Amar Rav Papa, so once we talk about Naresh, because we spoke about the creature that comes from the river of Narash, so he says, let me tell you something about Narash. Bishamta Narash, Tarbe Mashche Va'alyasa. If Narash, the city, were an animal, I would say that it needs to be put in Cherem with its Chelev, its Or, and its Alya, meaning every different part of the population of Narash is equally evil, and they all need to be put in Cherem. They're all terrible people. They're all Rishayim. Another thing about Narash, the Navi Yirmiyahu writes, Eretz, 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 Shimi Dvar Hashem. So Amar Rav Papa, Lo Ava Narash, Shmo Dvar Hashem. Even though the Navi says that all of the Eretz has to be Shomei Dvar Hashem, Narash didn't want to hear the Dvar Hashem. They remained Rishayim. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Narsha'a Nashkayich, Mani Kakayich. So this was apparently an expression, if a person from Narash kisses you, you better count your teeth. Because he's not showing you any expression of love. It's clearly they're just a bunch of ganavim. Nahar pekoda levayach. If a person from Nahar Pekod accompanies you, miglima shapira dechazi alach. You should realize you must be wearing nice clothing because he has something that he wants to steal from you. Pumbadisa levayach. If someone from Pumbadisa accompanies you, so also he has his eye on your money. Ashne Ushbizach, you better sleep in a different hotel that night so that he doesn't know where to find you, because the people of Pumbedisa are expert ganavim, and they'll come in the middle of the night and they'll steal everything you've got. Okay, so now we're going to bring a maisa that relates to the Arvad and how it's created. Amar Rav Huna bar Torta, Pamachas Halachti Levad. One time I went to a place called Vad, where there were a lot of Rishayim that were being Marvia Klayim, V'ri'isi Nachashu Koruch HaLatzav. And I saw that there was a Nachash that was with a Tzav, with a female Tzav, and was being Mishamish with the female Tzav. Liyamim Yatza Arvad Mibinehem. And a short while later, the Arvad came out from that union of the Nachash and the Tzav. And was and the Arvad is a very dangerous creature. It bites people, it kills people. Ukshabasi, the Rabbi Shimon HaChassid, when I went to Shimon HaChassid, and I told him what I witnessed, how they were mating these different creatures with each other. Amar Li, he said to me that the reason that the teva of the Nachash was changed to mate with the Tzav is because Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Rishayim in that place, Heim heviu bria shelo barasi ba'olami. They are mezave klayim, so they try to create creatures that I never created in sheshimei breishis. Af ani avi aleim bria shelo barasi ba'olami. I'm going to make one of those creatures, kill them. So now I created this dangerous creature called an arva that they're going to have to worry about because it's always going to be looking to kill them. So who was telling the story? This was Rav Huna telling the story. And he said that he reported this to Rabbi Shimon HaChassid. So in Maseches Chagiga and Maseches Sota, it seems pretty clear that Rabbi Shimon HaChassid was a Tana. So the Maisa over here really shouldn't be from Amoraim, it should really be a Braisa. So in fact, in the Dikduke Sofrim, they quote the Girsa, Tanya Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta, not Rav Huna bar Turta an Amora, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta, who is a Tana that was in the Dar of Rabbi Akiva. Because this has to be from the times of the Tanayim. Okay, so the Gemara says, wait a second, how could it be that an Arvad is a product of Klayim, of a Nachash and a Tzav? Vamar Mar, Kolta Shetashmishan, the Iburon Shava, only that which the way that it's Meshamesh and the way that it becomes pregnant is the same, Yoldin and Megadlin, has the ability to be molded and be Megadel and to nurse their children, Zemizah. Kol Shein Tashmishan, the Iburon Shava, but if they don't have the same method of Tashmish or Ibur, or a pregnancy, the Nachash and the Tzav don't have the same gestational period. The Zman Ibur of a Tzav is 6 months, the Zman Ibur of a Nachash is 7 years. So how could that possibly be that they could mate? So Amrav, Nes B'toch Nes. It's a Nes inside of another Nes. The fact that that Nachash abandoned its own min and went for a Tzav is itself a Nes, that's Shelo K'derech HaTeva, and the fact that it was successful in producing a creature that was also in producing offspring, that's also a nace. So says Mara, high peranusahu, that creation of the arvad shalokeder chateva is terrible. It's peranus. Why do you call that a nace? So my nace b'toch nace lepranus. Yeah, it's a miraculously terrible thing, but it's miraculous, and that's why it's called nace b'toch nace. Shitum gvetzes and the Chassam Sofer say that the first nace was that they were molded zemizah. The second nace was that the vlad was nothing like a nachash or a tzav. It was this terribly poisonous new min. So that was it. Wasn't the first nace, not the way we understood it, that the nachash abandoned its original its min and went for the tzav instead. Okay, new Mishnah now. So the Mishnah is going to discuss Evarim and Basar that are meduldolim, that are hanging off of a live animal. The halacha is that an aver that's actually detached from a live animal is an avatuma, right? It's metame adam kelim, it's aver menachai. Basar that's detached from a live animal is not tame, it's not aver menachai, it's also not nevela, because the animal is alive, right? So the Mishnah is going to discuss the aver meduldol. Ha'aver v'abasar meduldolim ba'behima. Let's say you have a dangling aver, or dangling basar that's partially detached from a live animal, metamin tumas ochlin b'makoman. They become tamin with tumas ochlin as is utzrich nechshe, but they first need nesinas mayim on them for them to be right lekabel tumah, just like any tumas ochlin. Nishchata behema, once the animal is shechted while these limbs are still dangling and attached to it, even though the shechita is not matir b'achila, Huchshru b'dameha. The dama shchita is machshir that dangling limb together with the rest of the behemah and the royal kabel tumah. Divrei Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo huchshru. The dama shchita is not machshir. You need some other hechshir, some other liquid to touch it. The mesa behemah. If the animal dies on its own and it has an aver or basar medudalin, habasar tzarech hechshir. Ha'aver mitami shemayver menachai. The basar is going to require hechshir to be mitami to masochlin, but the aver is mitami as aver menachai. But it's not metame as an aver nevela. Rabbi Shimon metayer. Rabbi Shimon says that it's going to be totally tahar. Okay, so let's elaborate on that. So the Mishnah said that an aver basar medudalin from a behema don't have tumas aver menachai, but they're mekabel tumas ochlin. So Gemara explains. Tumas ochlin in tumas nevela lo. It has tumas ochlin, but not tumas nevela. So it sounds from the Mishnah that tumas nevela does not apply at all to it. Say, echidami, what exactly is the case? If it's a case where it can have a refuah and the limb can go back to being a regular limb on the animal, then it shouldn't be tumas ochlin either, because it's still part of a live animal. But if it's never going to have a refuah and it's never going to reattach itself to the animal, tumas nevela nami litamu, then it should be tummy with tumas nevela as well. Why shouldn't it have tumas sefer menachai? Says Gemara liolam dein malan arucha. Really, the Mishnah is talking about that it's talush in a way that it's never going to heal itself. The shiny tumas nevela, but tumas nevela is a separate category. Terachmana amar v'chi yipol ad she yipol. We darshan from the lashon of the pasuk that even if it's cut in a way that it's not able to be nisrape, the aver is not going to be metame as a nevela until it actually falls off entirely. Tanya Namiachi, and we have a brace that says just like this. And it's only connected by a chuta sa'ara, it's only still connected to the animal by the thinnest strand. I might think that it has a status of tumas nevela, that tumas evim renachai, that's metame like a nevela. That's what it means by tumas nevela. It's obviously not nevela, the animal's not dead. It means that it should have a tumah that's on the level of tumas nevela, namely tumas evim renachai. Tamalomar yipol adchi. That's why he tells me no. It's only ever menachai if it actually falls off of the animal. Good. The Mishnah then said that Ever Basim with the Dolan and Behema are considered to be mechubar as far as that they don't have a din of Ever Menachai, Vafilu Achi, Tumas Ochlin Mitamu. And yet they're still right to be Mekabel Tumas Ochlin as if they were already detached. That din, that's something that's mechubar, that could be mechubar as far as Ever Menachai is concerned, but can be talush as far as Tumas Ochlin is concerned. So it's sort of dancing on both sides of the fence, right? With regard to one halacha, it's considered mechubar. With regard to the other halacha, it's considered talush. Yeah, that's not so unusual. It's a right where Rabbi Chiya Barashi says, "Amar Barashi Amar Shmuel Te'enim Shatzamku Be'ibehen." If you have figs that have dried while they're still attached to the tree, mitamus to mesochlin. But v'talush me'en b'shabes chayiv chatos. It has a status of Tumas Ochlin, so in that sense, it's not considered attached to the tree anymore. But if you pull it off of the tree on Shabbos, you chayev chatos, because it is considered attached to the tree as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned. So there you see, you can have the same thing, one item that is considered mechuber for one halacha and tolish as far as another halacha. Lema m'sayele, maybe we could bring a raya from a brisa to what Shmuel is saying, because another raya from brisa, because the brisa tells us yirakos shatzamku biyvehen. If you have yirakos that dry up while they're still attached to their stalk, kigon akruv adalaas, the cabbage or the gourd, ain mitamin tumas ochlin. They're not mitamin tumas ochlin because when they're dry, they're not roi lachil at all. But so they're not a food; they're not an edible food. Kitzatzan v'yibshan, if you cut them and then they dry, mitamin to masochlin, they are mitamin to masochlin. What? Kitzatzan v'yibshan salkadaitach? Could that be that if they totally dry out, they're mitamin to masochlin? They're not edible. Eitzbialmahu, it's like a piece of wood if it's dried out. V'amar v'yitzchak ba'almanas liyabshan. No, we're talking about where you were kotzitz them, having in mind that you're going to be miyabesh them, but you haven't yet dried them out. Then they have to the status of to masochlin. The reason they're not mitami is because we're talking about dafka kruv or delas, given the yavshan lav neachila ninu, that when they dry out, they're not going to be royal achila. Hashar peros mitame, but all other peros in a similar circumstance would be mitami to mesochlin because they're royal achila. Well, hechidami, what exactly is the case? E the yavshan hein v'uktzayan, if both the pre and the stem are totally dry, pshita, then of course they're mitami to mesochlin. I don't need a tana to tell me that a kruv and a delas that are dried with the stalk doesn't have tumas ochlin because it's like eitz ba'alma, and no doubt that peros in such a circumstance have tumas ochlin because they're completely detached. They're considered to be completely detached. El alav below uktzein. It must be that the Bryce is talking about where the pre had become dry, but the stem is not dry. And that's where we say that if you're tolish on Shabbos, you're chayev chatos, and even so, in that sense, it's considered mechubar, and even so, it's metami to mesochlin. It's considered not to be mechubar as far as to mesochlin. So you see, here's another raya, another case of something that's considered mechubar for one halacha, but tolish when it comes to another halacha. So Gemara rejects the raya. Liolam hein v'uktzein, uktzasin amnias liabshin estrichalei. Maybe I'm telling you, maybe the case of the brisa is that the stem is also dry, and it's something where it was cut al menas to be miyabesh it, that's the chiddush. The Tana needs to tell me that the chiddush in the seifa, that even when you're kotzei, it's al menas liyabesh, it's still metame to mesochin, even though your plan is not to use it as a food, your plan is to just dry it out. Tashma, so the Gemara tries to bring a raya now against Shmuel, because we have a brice that says as follows. Ilan shenifshach, you have a tree that a branch has come completely off of it. Ubo peros, and there are moist fruits on that branch. Harehin kitlushin, those peros are no longer considered to be attached to anything, and they are they're totally talush. But an anaf, if you have a branch that's not completely detached, and the peros on it are yavshu, harein kumuchubarin. Let's say you have a branch that's still on the tree, but the peros on that branch are totally dry, they're still considered to be totally mechubar lekarka. So my love, when the Braisa says in the Reisha, isn't the Braisa talking about matzlushin lekol devrayan, af mechubarin lekol devrayan? When we say that something has the halachic status of talush, doesn't that mean with regard to every single halacha? And when the Braisa says that something has the halachic status of mechubar, when the branch is still on the tree, even though the peros are dry, doesn't mean lechol devrayan, both as far as the issur to be kotzeitz from the eitz on Shabbos, and as far as the status of tumas ochlin, against Shmuel, who thinks that dried out fruits are considered to be tullish as far as tuma is concerned. So says, where me the area? How do you know what the brisa means? That the brisa means l'chol devrayan? Nah, hakadisa v'hakadisa. Each one, when the Tana and the Reisha says that the peros of the branch, that when the branch is detached from the tree, the peros have a din of tullish, he means bein linyan Shabbos, bein linyan tuma. But in the Seifa, when he says that the peros that have dried out on the tree have a din of mechubar, he means only linyan Shabbos it has a din of mechubar, but linyan tumah it's still considered to be already talush, and therefore is able to be mekabel tumas alchin. Bez Hashem will pick up from the two dots tomorrow.